You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Everybody, welcome to the Natty Boys Podcast. I am DB. We got a little mix-up in the show tonight. Mac cannot make it. He's having a conjugal visit at some sort of jail, I think.
He's not committed to the effort here.
Right. So it's just three of us tonight. We got Hefe and Witty joining us. First things first, Zach Cozart got his donkey.
Yeah, he did.
It's about damn time, too. That's probably the only noteworthy thing about the Reds right now.
That's true. The only other thing being that I saw a little kid kick D. Gordon in the shin. The Reds fan.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that sportsmanship is alive and well in Cincinnati.
Yeah. You know, if you can't beat him, you know, sling mud at him.
Yeah, or kick him in the shin.
Right. So the presentation of the donkey was over the weekend. And Joey Votto gave it to him. You know, it's a young donkey, and Zach had his kid and his wife there to, I don't know, pet it, I guess, and say hi to it. They had a naming contest, which they were taking like suggestions for what the name should be, and I threw one in the ring. I don't know if you guys did, but it was just like an email. You just emailed them and.
What was the name
but
you
they
picked?
Ended up going with Donald.
What's that? I saw the...
What was the name your suggestion? You picked?
Oh, it was Donkey McDonkface.
I like that.
Yeah, they didn't pick it. I don't know why. But
yeah, I'd
they
say picked... that Donkey McDonkface is a lot better than Donald for a donkey.
Yeah. Of course, after the famous British boat, they got named Bodie McBoatface. Because of a Reddit, like Reddit took over that online poll. So he got his donkey. The kid seems happy. It's a young donkey. I don't know. The Reds, this is literally the only thing going on with the Reds right now that's worth talking about. Yeah. They're terrible on the field. I think they've lost 8 of their last 10. They were supposed to have an off day Monday, but they have to make up a game in Cleveland. And then I don't know if they're going out of town after that. I think they are because they've been in town ever since the All-Star break. Anyways, they're trash.
Yeah.
That's an accurate assessment, I think. There's really not a lot of positive things to look for or to watch with this team right now. Earlier on in the season, they kind of went back and forth with the ups and the downs, had a lot of fun moments like, you know, Jeanette's 4 home run game.
Sure.
But right now there's just not a lot of redeeming qualities there.
Yeah, and this is the drag of the summer where it's even too hot to go down to the ballpark to even catch a game because it's just disgusting outside right now. The wife and I went down Saturday they had a giveaway of a batting practice shirt. And we literally went down there, got the shirt, like walked around the stadium once, and we're like, "All right, it's too hot. We're not staying here for this." So we ended up going to get dinner and watching the game on TV.
Yeah.
But more donkey talk. Speaking of asses, Pac-Man Jones has found himself suspended again.
Beautiful transition there.
Yeah, he's an idiot. We got another. It adds the questions to the Bengals for this year. They already are pretty depleted and have unproven talent at the position. So
he only got one game, right?
Yeah, one game, which I think is kind of ridiculous. I'll take it because they need him.
I had my fingers crossed for a 16-game suspension, but it didn't happen.
I agree. My honest hope is that, and I this is what I'm really hoping, is that William Jack outplays him while he's gone. And then somehow he doesn't get his position back. I know it's probably not going to happen.
cornerback's one of our deepest positions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've got a lot of unproven guys, but we've got a lot of guys there, a lot of high draft picks from the past few years.
Yes.
You know, Kirkpatrick's starting to come into his own. You got William Jackson III.
Denard still is unproven.
Darquez Denard. So, you know, if those guys start to live up to basically the talent that they got drafted for, because they're all first round picks, then I think you can do without a guy like Pac-Man. You know, Pac-Man's getting older too. So just forgetting the off the field stuff. I mean, you really can't rely on him much longer anyway, so... Yeah.
Diminishing returns. Yeah, he hasn't been as good as literally, he was previously.
He's not that great in the return game either.
And that's what annoys me with him even being on the team anymore because of all the problems. It's once the product on the field starts to suffer, it's time to move on.
But you also come to expect this from Mike Brown. I mean, he does it every single time a guy gets in trouble. We expect it now. I don't necessarily like it or agree with it, but... You know it's going to happen. As a fan, it sucks to have to put up with, but we chose our own fate by being Bengals fans, so it's really our fault, not Mike Brown's.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's one of those things, too, that's it's a little bit easier to swallow if the team's successful. True. I don't call zero playoff wins in the past, what is it now, 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't call that successful.
No.
No, wait, did they... They won one in...
I think it was 1990 was the last year they won one.
Yeah, so...
27. Before most of the players on the Bengals were actually born.
Yeah. Great. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. But this year's the year, right?
Right. It's also the Capitals' year, and...
It's always the year.
Right.
Yeah. And the Browns' year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
For 5 wins.
Probably not.
You know whose year it is?
Yeah.
OJ.
It's OJ Simpson's year.
It's OJ's year.
The juice is loose.
Thank you for making the joke that everyone else has already made a million times.
Hefe, the juice indeed is loose. So obviously, big story. OJ Simpson got granted parole. I believe they said, what is it, October 1st, I think, is when he could expect to get out, sometime early October.
Yeah.
This whole thing is just kind of surreal. Like, I for a while, I forgot O.J. Simpson even existed. And then, you know, the whole coverage of his parole hearing was just ridiculous to me.
Yeah. You got
these big sports networks covering it. Like, it's a... I mean it's news, but I feel like it's not news that should be covered on a sports network. I mean, I know he was an athlete, but...
Yeah.
It's just... I don't know. It's odd to me. The whole way it was just presented was just weird.
For some reason, America is just absolutely obsessed with O.J. Simpson and his like his former and current life, like how he got from there to here.
Yeah.
Everything he's gone through, and even like the stupid shit that he got arrested for recently, you know, the armed robbery.
Yeah.
We're obsessed with him, and that's why he's getting the coverage he gets, is because just like right now we're talking about it, you know.
Yeah. So when I first heard that he had been granted parole, you know what the thing that I got most excited for? I can't wait until O.J. Simpson gets a Twitter account.
You know, when I think when he was asked what he was going to do, like during his parole hearing, like what, you know, like what kind of employment he was going to look for.
Yeah,
I think blogging was one of the things he listed. So
I got news for you, buddy. That's not very gainful employment.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't be able to blog if I was a blogger because I would be homeless with no computer.
Yeah, exactly.
If that was my only source of income.
Yeah, so good luck with that.
You know who else is unemployed?
Who's that?
Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, that was an odd story as well. Obviously, the Ole Miss program has had some trouble surrounding it in the past year or so. I mean, from the draft 2 years ago, you had, or I guess it was last year's draft, Laramie Tunsil, the first round offensive lineman that they had. You know, before the draft, he got hacked, and his Instagram account posted a picture of him doing the bong hit out of the gas mask.
It's just a little weed.
Yeah, exactly. No big deal. Which honestly, that wasn't that big of a deal. That was just, I mean, and that was more personal on him, and not necessarily the program, but. after the draft, a text message got released, and I don't know if that got posted to his Twitter or Facebook or where it got posted, but it was basically a text message between him and one of the assistant coaches asking for money. So that one kind of did come back to the program. And
right, and the, you know, in that same message, the assistant coach was like, well, go see the guy that you always see.
Right.
You know, go see the booster that always has the money for you. Go talk to him.
Yep, so that, yeah, that's a bad look. And so ultimately, I think there were 10 to 12 rules violations that they were found to be, I guess, guilty of. And
right.
They self-imposed a postseason ban for this season, and I think they docked a handful of scholarships from themselves. The NCAA still hasn't made a ruling, so they could still get some NCAA discipline on top of it.
Yeah.
All that being said, that has nothing to do with Hugh Freeze's departure.
Right.
There was another investigation that the school was doing, and they're looking through the phone records, and I guess they found out that Hugh Freeze had made, I guess, a series of phone calls to an escort service.
Right. And reading, like, the article, the school called it, like a pattern. So it wasn't just, like, one call to an escort service. It was a pattern of behavior of him calling escorts. So I don't know if that means, like, that he has a problem, like, you know, himself getting hookers, or if he's calling them for his recruits, or if he's calling them for current players on the team. Like, it didn't really go into specifics about what was happening, but I thought it was interesting just the way that the school worded it.
Well, he saw how well that recruiting tactic worked out in Louisville, so.
Maybe he was just calling them for fun, like certain people we know.
Just calling him for fun.
It's just a prank, yeah.
Yeah, the whole Patino thing, I mean, they ended up self-imposing their own restrictions, and then just like Ole Miss did with their last charges, you know, they self-imposed sanctions and hoped and prayed that the NCAA thought that was good enough.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'll be good enough for this.
No. But. And the program has kind of started to turn around. I mean, when you think about SEC football, Ole Miss is not one of the first schools that you think of, but they had a couple big wins over Alabama in the past few years, which, I mean, that was kind of unheard of for that school. And, they had several first-round draft picks, so they're getting talent coming in. But
this is going to
hit them. They've already had one recruit decommit because of this, so he's from their 2019 recruiting class.
Yeah.
You know, who's to say that it's not going to be more coming forward, especially if there are, you know, further NCAA sanctions, whether it's related to this Hugh Freeze thing or not. You know, recruits going to, you know, they're not going to go and put up with that if they're not going to be able to, you know, play in the postseason. So this could have a pretty big impact on a team that was starting to come back into relevance.
It's just it's crazy when you think about it, too, like with Patino, like how much he's been through with that program, and he just seems untouchable. And then you got it's just like, you're gone.
And well,
I had a conversation. I know Witt's an Ohio State fan. I had a conversation about a lot of stuff that went on with Tressel. And with Tressel, you know, getting nixed from the program back when he did, it didn't seem like he really had done that much as far as violations go. And he was kind of, and I know there was more to it than that, but it just seems like it was kind of like, you're gone.
Well, the big thing there was he knew about it, and he kind of chose not to come forward with it.
Yeah.
And so I think that was one of the big things around it, was just him not coming forward and not telling the truth about it.
The other thing I read about Freeze today was that, so Freeze resigned, and it said, like the school said, if you don't resign, you're getting fired.
Right.
So, like, they get basically an ultimatum, like, you can step away, and they're not paying a salary anymore, like, he's done with the program, they're not paying him, he's out. And I think they already named, like, a backup coach
they had to kind of throw someone in his interim, just because, I mean, you've got to. So, that'll be interesting to see, you know, how that affects the team. And I don't follow SEC football close enough to know if Ole Miss is supposed to be relevant this year or not. So, I don't know if they really even have a lot to lose this year. But, you know, it's never good for a program when you're coming in and, you know, you just months before the season starts, you lose your head coach and you have to kind of deal with that distraction. Yeah, you know, you do the best you can, but, you know, it's got a weigh on the team. So,
and right now is right when, like, I'm starting to get excited that football is right around the corner. You know, like, we just scheduled our our fantasy football draft for the end of August. Like,
nice.
It's all getting ready to pop off right now. And, it's definitely a bad time for all this to happen to their school.
Yep, but fuck them.
Another funny thing that happened, I guess it was over the weekend, was Draymond Green and Conor McGregor getting into it on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys saw this, but McGregor apparently posted a picture of him in a number 23 Warriors jersey. And Draymond screenshotted it and said, you know, we're Team Mayweather. We don't want you, you know, sporting. Like, take that jersey off, you know, because Draymond is number 23 on the Warriors.
Right.
It's an older style jersey. It wasn't actually Draymond's jersey. It was CJ Watson's jersey that Conor McGregor was wearing in an ultimate troll move.
Yeah.
So the story there is that CJ Watson is the guy that was, I guess, sleeping with Mayweather's, I guess, girlfriend. I don't think they were they ever married?
I don't think they were married. I think it was girlfriend.
So he was sleeping with his girlfriend. It's the, I guess she's the mother of, you know, of Mayweather's kids. And that's kind of what set off the whole incident where the domestic violence incident that Mayweather actually went to jail for. So,
right.
So that's why McGregor's wearing that jersey, because that's a shot at Mayweather. Like, hey, look, I'm CJ Watson, you know, just him trying to get under Mayweather's skin. That's what the entire lead up to this fight has been those two just trying to get into each other's head, get under their skin, and you know, see if you can get that mental edge. Because I think in a sport like boxing or MMA, you know, if you can get a mental edge on somebody, it can have a real impact. So I don't know
for sure.
If it's going to be enough for McGregor to actually win the fight, but I definitely think from the psychological battle, I think he's winning right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why he's wearing the 23 Draymond or the 23 Warriors jersey, and Draymond obviously thought it was a Draymond jersey, so which is why he told him to take it off. But
in one of Connor's comments after he saw it, like Connor hopped into Draymond's like comment section, with the screenshotted picture, and he said, like, no offense to you, but I don't know who you are. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't care who number 23 is now on Golden State. Like, that's not why I'm doing this. I don't care who you are. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, and he threw in a stay in school there at the end, too, which was funny to me. And the other response he had, too, was, you know, this is no game. He's like, I dribble heads off the floor, not a ball.
Yeah. I just, like... You know, as much as I want to hate like Connor and Floyd for all the talking that they do back and forth, I find it entertaining, and I've found Connor entertaining his entire career. I love him. Like I hate loving him, but I love him.
Did you see the picture he posted of him sparring with a former boxing champ, where he had his hands behind his back, and he was just ducking the dude's punches? Like,
nice.
Was that McGregor?
Yeah, he posted that the troll. Mayweather also.
Yeah, because that's what everyone's been saying about the fight, is that, like, you know, Connor's not going to be able to get away from Floyd's fast hands. Like, he's just gonna get in there and deal with him. I don't know. I still don't think that Connor has a chance in this fight, but it's definitely been entertaining seeing the lead up to it.
I just want to know when we're going to see McGregor versus Draymond.
Yeah. You know,
just in one-on-one basketball.
Basketball,
not in the octagon.
It probably wouldn't be very fair in the octagon.
It wouldn't be very fair on either side. So I think it's the same way with the whole Mayweather McGregor thing. It's going to be pretty one sided, I think, in boxing for Mayweather. If they were to fight in the octagon, I think it'd be pretty one sided for McGregor. So these inter sports matchups, they're fun. You know, it helps.
It reminds me so much of basketball.
It helps settle those bar discussions that you see just about every bar, sports bar in America. Well, what if, you know, you throw this sport in against that sport? Who would win? It's, you know, whoever, you know, specializes in that sport is probably the one that's going to win. But it's fun to talk
about.
Now,
do you think the 96 Bulls would win or the 85 Chicago Bears?
Ooh, that's a good one.
They're playing sand volleyball.
I'm going going with the Bulls then. I think the jumping is going to come into...
Probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is what... Go ahead.
So did you see, I guess, Draymond actually went back one more time at McGregor after all that. He did the ha-ha-ha, like 10 ha's in a row. And then he started talking about how that number's not going to get worn again. He started rattling off all of his, you know, his accolades.
Yeah, he was bragging a little bit about he's done for the Warriors.
Yeah, but then he started chirping about Nate Diaz. So he's trying really hard to, you know, keep up the... Because Draymond, he's kind of a trash talker, too. So he's trying to keep up that, you know, that I'm a big trash talker, too. I can hang with you kind of image. But I think he's a little bit outclassed in the trash talking world when it comes to him versus McGregor.
I would agree with that. And, you know, this works in so many ways for the boxing match. Like, this is exactly what they want. They want everybody talking about it. They want everybody paying $100 for the pay-per-view. So, Draymond feeding into that, I think this is exactly what Conor McGregor wanted. This is probably the reaction he was 100% going for wearing that number 23 Warriors jersey.
I'm going to go out on a limb, too, and say that all of the hype around this fight, all of the build-up around the fight, is probably going to be 100 times more exciting than the fight itself.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's coming up in Vegas, I think, at the end of September.
August. End of August.
At the end of August?
Yeah.
We're less than a month away.
Yeah, I think it's like August 31st, is it?
It's the 29th.
29th?
So that's Labor Day weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'll be sure to be at one of your guys' houses, whoever's paying for it. I'll be there. I'm not footing the bill, but I'll be there.
We'll put it on the sports credit card.
This is why Dana loves Conor, though, is because this is what he does in all of his fights, because outside of the Diaz fight in the UFC, he really hasn't had an exciting, you know, he's put people away pretty fast. This is just what he has done for his sport. And, I mean, boxing obviously has been down over the years. So I think it's definitely like Whitty had said, bringing the attention to boxing. So
for sure.
And it's definitely going to not be as exciting as the fight's not going to be as exciting as the trash talk for sure.
No.
So one other person that's trying to draw a ton of attention to themselves this weekend, Kyrie Irving kind of stole the spotlight. He apparently leaked that a couple weeks ago he had asked the Cavaliers management for a trade away from LeBron James.
Yeah, which I was surprised by this. You know, I get not wanting to be around the media circus that is LeBron James and just all because you've got superstars all over the league, but none of them are like LeBron. And that's not just from a talent standpoint. It's from just a baggage standpoint. There's so much baggage that comes with LeBron. And it's just such a... It's
so
gotta be such
media attention he gets. Like every single tweet, every single picture he posts, every single tweet he posts, mm-hmm. everything he puts on Facebook, like every single little thing gets picked apart by the media. And you know that can be a really good thing where he draws all the attention. It like if Kyrie has a bad game, you know all the people are still asking LeBron about this stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's also bad, like in a group of big egos. Like, hey, these people don't give a shit what I have to say about how I played. They just want to ask LeBron how I played.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. I mean, I think he just wants to be able to play a more prominent role on a team because he doesn't want to be overshadowed. I mean, I don't know if he's come out and said that he wants to be the main guy. I don't know that he's the type of guy that can be a main guy, but I think he wants to be just, you know, a significant part of the team and not just you know, live in LeBron's shadow. So...
And that's one of the things that's kind of weird is because he is, you know, probably the second best player on this team,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to be the top, probably the top player on any team in the East besides mm-hmm. the Cavaliers. Cause he's a great player. The teams that he asked to be traded for are to be traded to are the Spurs, T-Wolves, Miami Heat, and New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Two of those teams, like the Heat and the Knicks, are not anywhere near contention.
No. Nope.
The Knicks are trash. The Spurs are perennially good. And I think that there's a Team USA Greg Popovich tie there.
Yeah,
where he wants to play for him, and I mean everybody wants to play for Popovich.
Yeah.
And then the T Wolves are an up and coming team that are going to be good for years to come. Now, God, with,
could you imagine him on the T Wolves?
Yep.
With Wiggins. Oh, yeah, it'd be awesome. And...
So I think you know if his big thing is he wants to go play you know a significant role with the team, and doesn't want to get overshadowed by just the. The superstar aspect of, you know, that he comes with LeBron. I think the Spurs are perfect for that because
yes.
they've had plenty of really, really talented guys, guys that from a talent standpoint would be considered superstars, but don't have that superstar persona, I guess.
That's how, you know, that's exactly how Tim Duncan was.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
His 20 years in the league.
Yep.
He flew under the radar. He was a quiet, you know, he's a quiet guy. Right now they have Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
He's one of the best players in the league.
Yep.
I don't know what his voice sounds like. I've never heard the dude talk.
So I think from that standpoint, I think the Spurs would be the perfect fit for Kyrie, and I think he would do well down there. So, you know, I don't know how much he – I mean, obviously he's not the one that's controlling this, so
– He's not.
He can ask all he wants, but, it, you know, if it does end up coming to fruition, I think that that's probably the best landing spot for him.
And my guess is that it does not. Like, I'm guessing that he's on the Cavs next year when the season starts. I might be proved an idiot here in, you know, the next couple of weeks if they make a trade.
True.
But I don't see the Cavaliers giving him up for, you know, for anything, really.
Especially with the idea of LeBron heading out of town.
Right.
Possibly this year.
But so. if he is, you know, stay in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, deal with it one more year, let LeBron go, and then you be the man in Cleveland. I think he knows that there's just not enough there to you know be competitive and to be relevant in Cleveland once LeBron leaves. But, I don't know. It's weird.
This past weekend when, like, I think it was Friday night, the news broke that he had asked for a trade. He was sick of LeBron. And, like, just everybody, like, started digging up, like, times when Kyrie had been annoyed at LeBron. And, like, there was, like, and they said, you know, this is the moment where he knew he wanted to leave. And, like, one of them, LeBron was yelling at him after a play, and Kyrie just kind of shakes his head. Another one is, like, when he was a rookie, some kid asked him, he's like, are you going to leave us like LeBron did? And like he you know, he took the mic from the little kid and he's like, no, I'm not gonna leave. It's like, oh, well, that's a bullshit answer now, isn't it? I mean, it was like the media, like the circus that this created Friday night just made Twitter so much fun to be on, to watch it unfold.
Yeah,
like it seemed like every single person on my timeline was talking about Kyrie.
Yeah, everyone likes to watch the train wreck, so you can't keep your eyes off of it. I think this is part of the problem that comes with this whole super team concept. You know, I think the Warriors are kind of an anomaly. You know, I don't think normally you can get that many just egos in the same room together and really have it work out.
Do you think he'll be traded to the Warriors?
Ooh, do they need a point guard?
That would be crazy.
Probably not. I think Steph's kind of their point guard for the future.
Yeah, well, you know, he's getting some age there.
Yeah, there's no chance in the world.
Is he in purple and gold at all, PB?
No.
No,
no way. Not if they just drafted Lonzo.
Right, yeah.
Lonzo's got the reins for a while now.
Right. He'll be in the silver and black, the Raiders.
Maybe. You know, I think he would be a great fit for the Spurs. Tony Parker's getting old, working his way out of the league, so I could definitely see that happening. I don't think it necessarily will. I think he'll be in wine and gold. I think those are the Cavaliers' official colors.
Yeah,
I think he'll be on the Cavs next year.
I think LeBron will be a Laker.
I hope not. Why do you say that?
to pain you.
It is painful just to hear the words come out of your mouth.
Yeah, speaking of painful things to swallow. As we told you in the beginning of the show, we're short a member tonight.
And it is a little painful,
painful.
Not having Mac here to guide us and give us his wisdom.
We're going to troll him and see if he actually listens to this podcast.
So in tonight's fantasy draft, we're going to list things that are better in fours. Because we feel like Mill Iron Sports is better with fours and the Natty Boys podcast is better in fours.
Agreed.
Yeah, so things that suck. If you only have three people doing them.
Exactly.
Like, oh, are you saying this podcast sucks without Mac?
I don't know. We'll see what the ratings are when they come in.
All right.
All fives.
So the first thing, I have the first pick in the things that suck with three but are okay with four. I'm picking an NFL game. It would suck if we only got three quarters of the four.
Ooh.
You know, that fourth quarter is important. It lets us know who won. If my DirecTV dish blanks out after the third quarter, I'm going to get pissed off.
Okay, so what about this? What if they just cut out the second quarter? Because the second quarter sucks. You know, who really cares about the second quarter? The first quarter, you get, you know, the build-up, everything started, and then, you know, third and fourth quarter, you get the resolution. But there's nothing, you know, redeeming about that second quarter, so you could cut that out and still have a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
Hockey did it.
Well, hockey is an exception to the rule. They can have three and be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this podcast is hockey. I think this podcast is the NFL because we're the biggest thing in the world.
That's true.
With my second pick, I'm going to go with a double date. Because that would be awkward.
You're just a third wheel at that point.
So, yeah, I mean, you're just talking.
Well, let's think about this here for a second, guys. If, so it's you and your date, which is, I'm assuming, a girl, Hefe. I'm not 100% sure that it would be
maybe,
a girl.
Maybe.
2017.
Okay. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
And then Mac doesn't make it, but his girlfriend does. So then it's you
it's
and
two chicks.
It's
kind of an interesting night, so.
Yeah, it could turn out to be okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess it depends on which wheel is missing there, because I've been on the third wheel on a date before, and it was kind of awkward. I just kind of sat there like, all right, I'd rather be anywhere but here right now. I think it was That's a true. Movie, and I think it was a romantic comedy that I probably slept through half of.
You had to cut the hole in the bottom of your popcorn by yourself?
Yeah, and then I ate the whole box of butter, tub of popcorn.
Mouth first.
No. That's a good one, Hefe. So for my first pick, I'm going to go with rowing, like Olympic rowing, because you got four men and, you know, two control one side, two control the other. So if you're short one person, you're just going to be going in circles. You're not going to get anywhere.
Wow. That would suck.
Yeah.
You're definitely not going to win any races doing that.
And you're going to get made fun. Although if you go straight, if you're on the outside and you go in, you might crash a bunch of people. You might win by default because nobody else can go. So maybe there's strategy to that. Look for that in the 2020 Olympics. Is that our next Summer Olympics? 2020?
Three-man rowing.
2018?
Let me do math.
I'm bad at Olympic math. When was the last 2020. Olympics?
2016 in London.
That's right. No, in Brazil,
no,
right?
2012 was London.
Brazil.
Yeah, 2016 was Brazil. You're right.
Olympics are so pointless. If it's not happening right now, nobody knows anything about them. So rowing would be pretty terrible with only three people. Bring it back around, starting off the second round, my number two pick is a baseball infield. You take a fourth man out of the baseball infield, you're going to be giving up hits left and right. So, yeah.
Wait, are you playing the extra guy in the outfield though?
No, he's just gone. There?
Oh shit.
Yeah. He ate some bad, Thai food before the game. He had to run into the restroom in between innings and he didn't make it back out in time. So you only have three infielders out there.
Wow, that would suck.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's basically...
I feel like there'd be a lot of base hits.
It looks like you're playing that damn shift, but you don't have that extra guy over there.
Oh, yeah. Base hits galore. Joey Votto would eat that infield up.
Hamilton would strike out.
Hefe.
I'm going to go with doubles tennis, just because that wouldn't be fair. Unless you're super agile, that would not be a fair matchup.
Unless.
So
maybe the person that's on the singles, you've got that singles size court instead of the doubles. You know, you can make it work. That could be interesting.
Or you're a good server. If you were a good server, it might work.
I think, like, if Serena Williams played, like, the two of us.
No. The Williams sisters against a male tennis player. Then maybe it finally evens things out.
All right. For my pick, I got back-to-backs here. I'm going to say that a NASCAR car with only three tires would suck. Because that fourth tire is pretty important if you want to win the race.
If you watch Brickyard today, you would have thought they only had three tires because there was a wreck about every 2 minutes.
Hey, if you only have three tires, that's less weight on the car, that's faster you can go. I think that's just science, that it's going to actually work out better. So look for the next couple of years to have just three-wheeled cars out there.
Less weight? You might have a point there. Now, which of the four tires would you eliminate?
The middle one?
It's got to be passenger side back, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Passenger side back.
The last thing that I'm going to say would suck with three of the four is the Beatles. Because, I don't want to say that Mac is Ringo, but I kind of feel like Mac's Ringo.
Yeah, he's Ringo. I think that's accurate. Now, had it been Pete Best...
Who are we?
Then we'd be okay.
Is the question.
Well, I'm...
Or the rest of the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm John Lennon and Paul McCartney.
You
guys
Oco.
Can be George Harrison. Harrison together.
I'm Oco.
And Hefe's George Michael.
Yeah, just...
Yoko.
Shit. Hefe's, yeah, Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono.
Oko Mono.
So, yeah, I think, the Beatles are a classic quattro. Is that a thing?
Quartet?
They're not a classic trio.
Quartet. Quartet. Quattro.
I'm going with quattro.
Classic quattro.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, and it's just because it's one of my favorite movies, I'm going to go with a three-person bobsled team. Mm. I'm going to imagine that Mac's probably the one pushing us. And that would just be awkward trying to get a start by just rocking back and forth.
We're just gonna keep kind of
We would never take down the Swiss team doing that.
We
so,
have a bobsled team.
Yeah, we would never be able to take down the Swiss team by rocking forward. We wouldn't get a fast enough start, so that would kind of suck.
Yeah.
Hey, Senka.
You dead, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, bobsled with three out of the four would definitely blow. Witty, end us.
All right, so I'm going to end
just,
us.
Just end this.
I'm going to end us with a mic drop because this is probably the worst four-person activity ever that you could do with only three people. This particular activity sucks with only three people, and that's playing Hungry Hungry Hippos. If you ever just have someone who's not one of the hippos, all the marbles end up on that side. Nobody can get to them, and you're just smacking away at the hippo like an idiot, and nobody wins because all the marbles are on the wrong side. So right now we're playing Hungry Hungry Hippos with three people, and Mac is the green hippo, and he's just got all the marbles sitting in front of him. We can't do shit about it.
So without Mac being here for this episode, we found that we ran a little bit short on time. So we're going to throw it to an older segment that we did where we debate French fries. Here it is.
One thing I think is one of the hotly debated topics that's sweeping the nation right now is what of the big three fast food restaurants has the best fries? So I think everybody has their opinion on this, and most of them are wrong unless they agree with me. But I'm sure we've all tried each of the fast food. And I just for clarity's sake, the big three are Burger King, McDonald's, and Wendy's. So I don't want any idiot out there thinking that Hardee's or something's one of the big three. What are you guys' takes on that? From a fry standpoint, what do you prefer? Hefe.
I just think the obvious choice, and I know that Witty's going to agree with me, is McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's fries are, like, the greatest thing ever. So, especially once you get them, when you get them fresh, hot, they're ready to go. They're amazing.
Nothing at McDonald's is ever fresh.
The fries are always delicious.
No.
Fresh, never frozen fries.
I'd go McDonald's fries as well. I love McDonald's fries. I typically eat them before I even get home when I go through the drive-thru, just because the second they're not piping hot, they start to not be that
edible.
Great. They're still good. Yeah, they start to get a little rubbery.
Yeah.
If we were doing this 4 or 5 years ago, I would have gone with Wendy's, though. I love their old fries. I think it was the biggest mistake ever to switch their fries.
I think they were trying to go with the almost fresh cut Penn Station style fries, mm-hmm. but yeah. you can't really do that in a right. fast food format because you just can't sit there and make, you can't cut the potatoes all day. Yeah. So they essentially became a frozen version of the Penn Station fresh cut fries.
Right.
But I love their old fries because I'm not a, I don't like overly salty things. So their fries, they didn't seem to have much salt and they were nice. They weren't steak fries, but they were, there was enough potato to them where you didn't feel like you were just chewing on, you know, bits of whatever the fuck you put around a French fry.
Sure.
Fried sure. stuff. DB.
So breading? Before I give my answer, I'm going to bitch for a second.
There's a shock.
I don't like Burger King.
Yeah, I know, right? So, my wife is normally the one that goes through the drive-thrus. Like, she'll head out and get food while I stay at home and be lazy.
Don't let her ever tell you that's cooking dinner for you.
Yeah. So, the thing that I am going to bitch about is that whenever she goes and gets food, she won't order fries for herself. But like you guys, I'll get fries and then she will have eaten half of them by the time that she gets back to the house. So she doesn't order them for herself because she's like, oh, I'm not going to eat a whole thing of fries. But then by the time she gets back, I barely have any fries left.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to throw that out there that she's an asshole and needs to quit doing that. The other thing that I would like to state before I answer this question is that we've previously talked before about how I'm not a Burger King guy. So I don't know that I've ever had Burger King fries.
You're not missing anything.
They're okay. not great.
So with that being said, I am going to choose the answer none of you guys came up with, and that is Wendy's.
Yeah.
So, and the reason that I'm picking that is because I feel like with McDonald's, every once in a while, you'll get that soggy fry that didn't, you know, it didn't cook all the way in the oil. Yeah. And I do like, and even if it's just a mind trick that they're playing, that some of the spuds on the Wendy's fries still have, you know, like their casing from the sure. potato. And I like that, even if they're just tricking me into thinking yeah. that they're fresh. And I do like the sea salt that they put on them. Delicious. And McDonald's are just, I mean, they're good, but I would choose Wendy's.
I feel like the, I guess the McDonald's extremes are a little bit more extreme. I guess like when McDonald's fries are bad, they're bad. Like, but when they're good, when they're hot and they're, you know, all the way cooked through, because I agree, when you get that one that's not cooked through, it's like, all right, this ruined my afternoon. I'm going to just go home and sleep for the next 6 hours because yeah. I can't do anything.
You put that soggy fry yeah, in your mouth, your day is done.
But when McDonald's fries are at their best, I think they are the best. And Wendy's fries to me are kind of just, like I'm not going to get too excited about it. A lot of times, honestly, yeah. lately, if I'm going to Wendy's, I don't even get fries. Like I'll get McDonald's fries almost every time, but Wendy's, a lot of times I don't even get fries at this point.
Yeah, I used to get the, when I would go to Wendy's, I would get the spicy chicken nuggets in place of fries. Yeah. And now I can't even do that. So
yeah, those assholes.
And that wasn't me like putting down fries.
Oh no, no, no.
I'll eat fries from anywhere. You know, I'm a potato guy. If you can't tell by my body, like I look like a potato, therefore I love yeah. them. And I will eat McDonald's fries, but I will choose Wendy's over
sure.
there.
Also,
I know that Hefe is a big ketchup guy, but if I can dip my fries in barbecue sauce, I'm
ranch.
Doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Fries
oh,
and
yeah.
ranch?
Fries and ranch are
got
good.
Your
no,
weird.
So okay, here's a, you think that's weird. One thing that I love to do at McDonald's, you know, I usually get a couple double cheeseburgers, pull them apart, and you got to do it in between patties, line it with
French
fries.
Say it better. You spread their buns.
Yeah, you spread the buns, and then you stick the fries in between the meat, and then you squish it back together, and That's honestly one of the best things. Like, I don't know why they don't just sell a cheeseburger with fries on it. But if you haven't, like, if you weird. Haven't tried that, because you haven't lived. It's amazing. Someone backed me up on this because DB's a.
I love that, but
no, it's delicious.
No, I do that too, but I always hate myself for doing it because I feel like I'm emulating something Pittsburgh would do.
Are you a potato chip on your sandwich
oh,
type of guy?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's weird, too. You guys are weird.
When I go to Subway, I'll put Cool Ranch Doritos on my turkey sub.
I've done that before, but that's not a regular go-to move.
Grippo's barbecue potato chips on a sandwich are pretty okay. Incredible. Yeah.
I love Grippo's.
Yeah, those are really good because they add an element of spice to it as well.
Well, for me, it's a time-saving thing. Who has time to eat a burger and then fries? Just put them all together, you can just two birds with one stone. It's much more efficient.
Sometimes I'll just drizzle some Coke on, not cocaine, but I'll drizzle some of my Coke over my sandwich, too, to kind of get the bread nice and soggy so I don't have to drink as much of my Coke. It's all about
who
efficiency.
Who has time to spread their burgers apart and then remake them?
You don't remake them. It's literally
someone.
Bump, bump, bump. It's like three moves. It's quick.
Yeah. If you order like Whitty and I do, you have your at-home food and you have your driving home food.
Yeah.
So you have plenty of burgers. You have plenty of time.
I do that with Taco
Bell.
So
here's another weird move. and I've not personally done this, but I've seen people do it. Dipping, and this is a Wendy's thing, dipping fries in a Frosty.
What the fuck is that? I can't get on board with,
but I've seen a lot of people do it.
It's like the salty sweet thing, again, like having some salt with your sweet, I don't like it.
So, I'll preface, I've got one thing to say and then I've got my point, so bear with me here. First of all, I've gone back to single, just regular cheeseburger at McDonald's. I don't know what it is, but I'm loving it lately.
But
I think I'm getting gypped bad. Yeah, I'm getting screwed.
Yeah.
But the biggest poor move that I've seen, and I hate when people do it, and I think one of our fellow podcaster, blogger, friends, former roommates does at a fast food restaurant, is fill the lid of the sandwich box with ketchup and dip their sandwich that already has ketchup on it in the ketchup. I hate you if you do that. This person I'm talking about, I hate for a lot of other reasons too. But this is kind of the proverbial icing
on
the
cake. But you love me for so many more.
So many more, yes.
Words are hard.
English is tough. Yeah.
It is. I just love I just love ketchup. I always have.
You like supporting the Heinz family.
Not the best.
There's no other good ketchup, though.
Also, can I say that I'm picking Chick-fil-A fries over any of those three?
No, you may not say
that. Waffle fries.
Waffle fries, okay. Bitch.
Well, if we're going specialty, then why is Arby's not in this?
Because we're not going specialty. Yeah. We're leaving it to the big three. DB just feels like the rules don't apply to him, so he's going to go out of the box.
I'm a rebel, baby. So we always like to end the podcast talking about something that we learned during the episode. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there that I learned a lot about C.J. Watson that I didn't know before today.
Yeah.
I had no idea who C.J. Watson was. Apparently he is still on the Magic now, but Conor McGregor with that troll move on Floyd Mayweather was hilarious and definitely got us talking.
Hefe, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Hugh Freeze is a college football coach. I thought it was Mr. Freeze's dad or something. I had no idea who Hugh Freeze was. Had heard about the tinsel stuff, but yeah, I had no idea who he was. So congratulations, I know who you are now.
Well, he's not really at that school anymore. He's not a head coach anymore.
At least I know who he is now, and it's not Mr. Freeze's dad, so...
Do you know that for
also,
sure?
Also, if he might know be. Any prostitutes, maybe.
Yeah, I know. I know where my hookups. I know my hookup now. If I ever want a good escort service, and I'm down in the Old Miss area.
Actually, I think it was in the Tampa area that he actually was calling.
Well, even better because I go down in the Tampa area sometimes, so I vacationed there before. So
you're down in the Tampa area?
Yeah. If I ever go back to the Tampa area, I'm good.
All right. So today I learned that DB is a lot better at naming donkeys than every other Reds fan and Zach Cozart and his family, because Donkey McDonkface is 10 times better than Donald. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why the Reds didn't reach out, you know, with my suggestion. They didn't even give me a response when I sent that suggestion in. So I was a little disappointed.
When you win, or when you make it to the MLB All Star Game and Votto buys you a donkey, you can name it Donkey McDonkface.
All right.
All right. Thanks for checking out the Natty Boys podcast today. Next time we will be back in full force. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at @MillIronSports. Follow us on Facebook, Facebook.com/MillIronSports. And check us out on the website, MillIronSports.com.
Talk to you guys on Thursday. Hit us up on Twitter.
Bye. Miss you, Mac.